Hello, this is Bruce Edwin with HollywoodSentinel.com, and I'm speaking here today with Les Brown. Les, how are you today, sir?
I'm great and grateful. It's a pleasure to be speaking to you, and I want to thank you very much for the opportunity to
interview you. Well, Les, I greatly appreciate that. It means a lot. You know, I had the great it's a pleasure and honor to speak with you now, and I had the great pleasure to discover your work years ago. I was listening to folks, including Brian Tracy, Zig Ziglar, and more, and I came across your video, and I'll tell you, it brought, not to sound, you know, silly or whatever, but it brought tears to my eyes. You were such a motivating force in my life, and I thought, my gosh, this man, I had never heard anyone speak so eloquently and powerfully since hearing speeches recorded by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and that's no exaggeration. So I honestly consider you really the greatest speaker of our time. And so it's a real honor.
That's very kind of you. And I'm just a little cornbread dude out of Liberty City in Miami. But, you know, the speech you probably saw is one that Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, when he saw it, wrote the book, The Power of Positive Thinking, as you know.
Yes.
It was a game in the Georgia Dome before 80,000 people called It's Not Over Until You Win. In fact, the Georgia Dome no longer exists, but people who were among those 80,000 people there when I gave that speech in the Georgia Dome, they remember that speech. And when I'm traveling, people say, hey, I was there. I saw you. And I'm hungry.
I love that, and I love when you say that, and it's just, it brings a smile to my face. So, Les, is there, I want to get our volume up here as loud as possible, so I'm trying to turn our volume up as loud on my end here. If there's any way on your end we can get a little more volume, I just want to make sure
yes.
We can hear.
Can you hear me well now?
I hear you well, but I'm just want to make sure our listeners can hear, and but it should be okay. So I was like I said, amazed by not only your speaking quality and voice, but also the words you say. And how did you get started? I know you grew up in a small community or just in poverty, essentially, I've read. Please bring us back, and for those who haven't heard this story yet, kind of what got you started?
Well, I was born in an abandoned building with a twin brother, Wesley. We were in Liberty City, and we were born on a hard linoleum floor. I always say when I'm interviewed on stage, I'm on the stage because two women, one gave me life, the other one gave me love. God took me from my biological mother's womb and placed me in the heart of my adopted mother. And Mrs. Mamie Brown, who was 46, never had any children herself. She adopted Wesley and I. And then, after that, she adopted five other kids. So I'm one of seven that this incredible human being impacted my life. And when I was in the fifth grade, I was labeled educable, mentally retarded, and put back from the fifth grade to the fourth grade. I failed again when I was in the eighth grade. I don't have any college training. But I had this high school teacher, Bruce, who I was in his class looking for another student. And there are moments in life that before this and after this and after this, nothing will ever be the same again. And this instructor, he challenged me. He said, young man, go to board and work this problem out for me. He was a new instructor.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not one of your students, sir. He said, do what I'm asking you to do anyhow. And I said, sir, I can't. And the other kids, they started laughing. He said, he's less. He has a twin brother. His brother, Wesley, is smart. He's DT. And he asked, what is DT? He's the dumb twin. And I said, I am, sir. And they erupted in laughter. But I said, I am, sir.
Oh.
And he kicked from behind his desk and he got right in front of me. And he looked at me and he said, don't you ever say that again. Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality.
Wow. What age were you again when this happened?
That was my junior year in high school. I was in special education all the way through senior high school. But that was an interruption. You know, how you live your life.
Yeah.
The story you believe about yourself. And on that day when he spoke, he interrupted the story that I believed about myself of being educable, mentally retarded. And he said that when he spoke, it really jarred. My mother said, "Sticks and stones can break your bones. Words can never hurt you, but words do hurt. And hurt."
Yes.
But when he spoke, he interrupted. I always tell speakers, I train speakers now, and I said, when we speak, and your program is a very good example. What we do is we distract, dispute, and inspire. We distract people who listen to us from the story they currently believe about themselves.
Yes.
And through the things that we share with them, we interrupt and dismantle their current belief system and inspire them to make new choices with their lives, give them a vision of themselves beyond their mental conditioning and their circumstances. We are designed, as Zig Ziglar would say, for greatness and engineered to achieve, but we've been programmed to fail.
Well, that's amazing, and that's so powerful, and you're the living example of this, and it brings to my mind this book I read a number of years ago called, I'm sure you're familiar with, The Four Agreements, and Ruiz talks about how just what you've gone through and what you live and teach, that's how words can curse or words can bless. And you're the living embodiment of this and overcoming this. Did you, just out of curiosity, I know this is, you've probably been asked this before, did you ever go back to the person that labeled you that wrongly, obviously? Did you ever go back to them and show them what you've become or ever encounter them again?
I was doing a motivational event in Miami, Florida. I was left. And traveled all over the world. I've spoken over 51 countries. And
amazing.
I came to Liberty City to do an event. And Mrs. E was there. Mrs. Lucretia.
Okay.
And I'm the teacher who recognized Les Brown as being educable, literary father.
Oh.
And I have my book that I've written called My Most Famous Retarded Student.
Gotta be. So she was still trying to say this lie. Oh my goodness. That is incredible. Well, she's what a character she was, boy, to say the least. Well, she just, some people just can't ever admit wrongdoing, can they?
No, and she didn't think she did anything wrong.
Yeah.
That was okay, I tell you, but that I will never forget. She said it just took everybody's breath away when she said that.
That is incredible. Well, some people are so, I have no words for that. I'll just leave it at that. But this man, he was on the flip side, really just blessed you with his showing you that the reality of you are greater than what people say of you. You have greatness within you, which you teach. And I mean, he must have. Did he? Was he around to see just the great, great person you became and are?
Yes, he did. And in fact, I'll never forget. I took him to lunch at a place called Dave's Daily in Liberty City on 7th Avenue.
Yes.
And on the way home, I said, "There's something I want to say to you." He said, "I know you've been very quiet this time."
Yeah.
I said, "There's a new discovery that at the University of Miami, they have discovered something that can slow down the glaucoma that you're suffering from that might possibly prevent you from going blind or slow the process down." And he said, money is no issue. I will take you everything for you. Just let me know.
Yeah.
And he says, no, but, you know, I get calls from people, from stage that they heard you mention me from stage. And I said, well, if there's anything I can do, let me know. He said, I will. And then when I put it down on the doorknob and started walking toward the gate, he said, Mr. Brown, there is something you can do. And I said, what is it, sir? He said, come closer to me. I said, yes, sir. Anything, sir. What is it? He said, I don't know what I said or did to inspire you to become the person that you are now.
Oh.
He said, I'm so proud when I heard that you were selected among the top five speakers in the world with Joe Nomich Rushwald, Robert Schuller, Leah Coker, Paul Harvey.
Wow.
And he said, but whatever it was, pass it on. And so, Bruce, every time I speak, my goal is to pass on what he gave me to impact people individually and collectively, to give them a vision of themselves beyond their mental conditioning, to decrease the level of unconscious self-loathing that many people suffer from as a result of being in a culture that goes more about our limitations rather than our potential.
Yes.
And to increase our sense of worthiness where we come to believe that life is God's gift to us and how we live our lives is our gift to God. So every time I speak, I'm passing it on.
Well, that's really powerful and really beautiful. And Les, I words can be so limiting, but as I mentioned before, your words have had such a profound impact on me, and I sincerely mean that. It's really amazing. Now, I could talk with you forever, but I know your time's valuable, and you have a lot to do after this call. So I just have, and I hope you'll come back with us here very soon. I'd love to speak with you more.
No problem. I will always be available to you. I call you Persistent Bruce. I love it.
Well, thank you. That's one thing I have been accused of that I appreciate. I try to be persistent. So.
I love that in you. I love that in you. I'm the same kind of person. I love it in you. So
thank you. Well, thank you so much. Well, thank you. So I have one question before we go here, and that's this. We were we know, of course, about some of the politics and the crazy times we live in, and I know no one's seen anything like this, and that I can recall, and I know you can probably and recall as well, there's been nothing with the daily political drama and just kind of anger and all this. How do people, what is your advice as a very wise person, I consider, what's your advice to people to really just kind of not be so detrimentally affected by this?
I say to people, don't worry about what's going on in the White House. Focus on and be mindful and make a conscious, deliberate, determined effort to what's going on in your house. There's something that we have to release. And what we're witnessing, P.D. Jakes has a quote that says, Lord, don't let my talent take me where my character can't keep me.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. And so what happens, Bruce, if you achieve a goal that's beyond your sense of self-worth, you will unconsciously engage in self-destructive behavior.
Wow.
And lose whatever you gain.
70%
of the people who win the lottery,
yep,
they end up bankrupt.
Right.
And so what we're witnessing is a classic example of that. And as these things are happening, what's most important, and it's a very important question you asked me.
Thank you.
I'm a 21-year prostate cancer conqueror.
Wow.
My concern about how things impact intact, our minds, we have to protect ourselves.
Yes.
My oldest son, and I don't care how old your children become, they're still your children. He's 53.
Yeah.
And he could not swallow, and he dropped from 265 pounds down to 63 pounds.
Boy.
At death.
Mm.
And the youngest son suffered from bipolar and was trying to medicate himself with medical marijuana and smoking blunts.
Mm.
And those to my children, but I've handled a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
When my children are impacted, that hits me below the belt. And
right.
I found myself allowing myself to be stressed out. People say cancer, it feeds on sugar, but it thrives on stress. And I ignited the cancer in me.
Mm.
And I had to back up. I had to back up. I had to retreat to Lord grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I had to back up.
Yes.
To handle myself and to handle what was in front of me, because dead fathers can't help their children. And I allowed
right.
myself to be stressed out. So,
yeah. Yes.
And we have to get some help in some cases. I believe ask for help.
Mm.
Not because you're weak, because you want to remain strong. And ask for help, and don't stop until you get it. And I had to get some help in order to stay here. I had to get some help to stabilize myself mentally, emotionally, and spiritually.
Right.
And to deal with what I was going through. And as a result of it, my kids are doing well. My son now, who was down to 63 pounds, he's at 151 pounds, he's coming back.
Great.
They've removed food from his stomach, he's doing extremely well.
Wonderful.
And my son is now getting psychiatric help and on good medication. And so I pray, and I meditate, and I journal. I write what my feelings are.
That's
and
important.
I also have a team of collaborative, achievement-driven, supportive relationships that we communicate with each other and share what's going on with us. And we are there to encourage and to give each other help and support when we're dealing with things. And what's going on right now in our country, oh my God.
Exactly.
And I think I've never seen, but we have the ability to focus our minds and to meditate, to be mindful. After I finish talking to you, I'm going for a walk.
Sure.
It's a meditative walk that I'm affirming to myself, and I listen to calming music. I turn the news off because
yes.
it impacts you negatively.
Right.
And I make a deliberate effort to listen to things that are positive. I encourage people who are listening now to listen to my presentation in Georgia Dome called It's Not Over Till You Win.
Absolutely. We'll put a link to that. That's I love it.
Getting unstuck and another one called It's Possible. Watch positive things, because whatever you see or hear in the first 20 minutes when you get up in the morning, it affects the spirit of your day. You want to discipline yourself to have a ritual. When I get up in the morning, I thank God that I'm still here, that I read 30 to 40 pages of something positive in the morning. And then I listen. I listen to Zig Ziglar. I listen to Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. I listen to people that I've enjoyed over the years. Some are no longer here.
Yes.
Their words still bring me comfort. And I still hear things that I didn't hear before, even though I've heard them for years.
That's exactly. I completely relate to that. And I try to do that myself as well. That's great advice. Well, Les, you are one of those people. I want to add you to that list. People should listen to get some daily inspiration and hope and wisdom. And so I just want to thank you and thank you for what you do and the great influence and positive impact you've had on the lives of people around the world. So it's a real honor to know you and to speak with you, and thank you for your time today.
Well, I thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Whenever you call me, I'm available.
Thank you so much, Les. And if you can hold the line one moment here, folks, this is Bruce Evan with HollywoodSentinel.com. Thank you to Les Brown, and check back with us often.